Welcome in, everybody. It's All Pro Lines, the podcast. We have Packer fan and comedian Tim Harmson on the show today. Look forward to talking to Tim a little bit. It'll be nice to catch up with him. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm like Jalen Hurts. I play even when I'm sick. What are you going to do, not play? No, you got to play. well, I just want to lay down, but we're gonna talk for a while, and then I'm going to lay down. That's fine. We'll just switch it around. Ron Milford, hello. Jerry Oliver, hello. Thanks for being here, boys. Good to see you. Quick programming note since you guys are here. Next week we're going to do a podcast, but it might not be on Monday because of the way it falls for the holiday. Probably do it on the 26th, and it might be guest Glenn Grizzard. So we'll see. Brian Chambers, what's up, man? Excuse me. Look at me. If you can see me, I'm super festive. I've got a Christmas tree. I have a Christmas pajama top, and I also have my tablecloth, Christmas tablecloth. How about that? And for those of you viewing, when you flip it over, it's birthday. You might remember I was born on Christmas, and this was a gift from my mom. It's the same kind of thing we had when I was a kid that my grandmother used to put out every year, and it would be there for a week or whatever. It would be Christmas, 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 and then in the afternoon of December 25th, she would flip it over, and it wasn't Christmas anymore. It was Kostaiki's birthday. Come on. That's nice. Wholesome. Wholesome good memories. Miss that lady. Miss a lot of people in my world. Thanks for being here, guys. We appreciate it. Let's do some jokes.
2 minute drill.
I think we can all agree that the Falcons-Panthers game lived up to the hype. Everyone was excited about that game. It rained the whole time. The final was 9-7. Tickets to the game were 45 cents. And if you paid that, you got robbed. stadium looked as empty as the scoreboard. Nobody was there. The game should have been flexed into a dumpster. the Panthers were 1-12. The Falcons can't beat a 1-12 team. Is that what you're going to have me believe at this point? The Panthers had fewer wins than my kids have Christmases. And yet, somehow the weather was bad. And by weather, I mean coaching. The Falcons have a lot of weapons that look good in space. Sorry, they have a lot of weapons that look good from space. It's a little different. So the Falcons have more ways to lose than Bubba Gump has ways to make shrimp at this point. See, shrimp casserole, shrimp kebab, shrimp etouffee, red zone interception, safety, bad clock management, fumble on your own one. I'm getting sick of this team. This team sucks. The Raiders scored 63 points, and the Panthers said, in one season? No, one game, Panthers. 63. After not scoring a single point the week before for the Raiders. I believe that's called edging. I believe. Careful, they waited a whole week. The Raiders are going to get some points on you. Chargers fired their head coach and their general manager. You can't fire enough people to make up for how disappointing the Chargers are. Justin Herbert's out with the finger surgery. Presumably he was pointing too hard at the guys who needed to be fired. It's like, that guy and that guy. You gotta fire that guy. I hurt my finger. You gotta fire all those. Giants lost, but there's still all this buzz about Tommy DeVito, which I think is fun, man. The Italians haven't been this excited since Costco started selling cologne. DeVito was a backup. So he's technically an Italian sub. Huh? Come on, what do you want in a joke? Now he's an Italian hero, everybody. He lives at home with his parents. When he scores, instead of taking it to the house, does he take it to mom's house? I think Tony Soprano's house is available, if I understood the ending. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. In his family, in DeVito's family, tape study is rewatching the Godfather films. He plays 45% of the snaps from the gun, but nobody saw nothing. Now when the fans tailgate, they can sell stuff out of their trunk. You know, it's just embrace the whole. They're renaming that area between the 20 and the end zone. It's now called the Calzone. Huh? Because he's Italian, everybody. A quarterback needs to have a short memory, and Tommy DeVito knows how to forget about it. You got to forget about it. Here's a question. You know why Joe Flacco is hard to defend? Most of his game film is on VHS. None of the kids today have access to. They can't watch it. Robert Salas said Aaron Rodgers looks normal. Well, he always looks normal. It's when he starts talking. That's when it's a little questionable. The NFL is going to play its first ever game next year in Brazil. Can't wait to see how they trim the grass. All right. Nice and tight. Maybe just like a little landing strip. We'll see. Teddy Bridgewater said he's retiring. Could be the last chance to do this joke. Teddy Bridgewater would have been a great name for Ted Kennedy. No one under 45 has a shot at getting that joke, but it's pretty good writing. I'm going to stand behind that. Couple quick plugs. I'm doing Atlanta this week. I'm doing my home club. I'm heading back to Atlanta to see some friends and some family and spend some time with grandma and doing the Atlanta Punchline. It's one of the great clubs. December 22 and 23, if you're in the Atlanta area. And then in a couple of weeks from now, mid-January, I'm doing Ashtabula and Erie, Pennsylvania. Ashtabula, I believe, is Ohio. It's up there near Erie. They're close. It's a nice pairing. It's good routing. What else can I tell you? Patreon. Go to patreon.com and type in All Pro Lines and figure out how you can join us. And if you're stumped on a gift, give your dad me. Cameo. I'll come on. I'll make fun of his favorite team. I'll wish him Merry Christmas. I'll even wear my corny sweater. You know, whatever. Let me know. I'm easy to find on Cameo. You know, it's the name. So, this week I will be in Atlanta, our guest is going to be at Minneapolis at Acme, one of the great clubs in America, recording a new album. So if you're in Minnesota, go check out Tim Harmston.
Hey, buddy. Hey, you had me on all the Tommy DeVito chunk. It was
great. Silly.
Calzone.
You can't blow it when you get into the calzone. That's important.
But you and I are probably pretty salty this morning after your Falcons took a unexpected dive into the dumpster and the Packers set all kinds of records again.
Yeah. Congrats.
Hey, let's perk it up a little bit here. It's the holidays. I put up my little Christmas tree here to match your Christmas tree.
Oh, that's great.
Pretty
I like
nice,
it.
Huh? Yeah.
And you got I
got a dog up there too who's watching over the
dog.
Whole operation.
You got a lot going on in this tight shot. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about what you wanted. I know we got a lot of Packers stuff to get to. I'm your Packers expert, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
I take Absolutely. Things to the next level on the Packers analysis, and I wanted to get right into it. And talk about how we're a publicly owned team, right?
Right.
We're the only sports franchise that's owned by the public. And it's occurred to me that it's time to get one of those oligarch owners because nobody can fire anybody. Like nobody, when it comes time to fire somebody in Green Bay, everyone's like, who's going to do it? Like, you know, which shareholder is, you know, we have to have like board meetings and I don't know, charity bowls. And, you know, we have to have like, there's no iron fisted owner just to like, you know, like you can't, it's like too many cooks in the kitchen and there's the power structure's gone amok and we just no owner would stand for the kind of football that the Packers play continually over and over and over again on defense.
It's a great point. Now, so is it all right? You probably know the answer to this. I just assumed that that's a little overblown, this idea of being owned by the people, because you can buy a stock in it, but it's not worth anything. It's like, it's a little, they're a little embracing the shtick. It's not really
that
it's kind of owned by the people, but not really. You can't really, there's no value in these stocks, right?
It's true. It's true. The stock is more of a commemorative framed photo on your wall.
Right.
It has zero value. If the team is sold, I believe it goes to like the American Legion, the Green Bay American Legion, which they could do some serious remodeling with the
no shit, $6 billion
the $5.8 billion. But it brings me to another point, and that was the second thing I was writing before I went on the air, is that the Packers, in its, you know, as an entity, have become a character of the, you know, it's like, it's one of the, how do I describe it? It's like one of the biggest sort of the most well-known sports franchises in the world. Like, you could put the Cowboys and Manchester United and
right.
the New York Yankees and the Packers. And yep. when we had success in the 90s under Favre and then Aaron Rodgers, Mike Holmgren, Mike McCarthy, Packer Mania was alive and well. And like everything, it gets corporatized to the fullest extent. And so it, and I know I'm not the only person that feels this way, but the corporatization of the Packers is, how do we extract every bit of cheese out of this cheese head? You know, like, how do we extract monetary value out of everything? The Lambeau mystique, you know, and like, have your wedding at Lambeau Field. And they've done a they've taken this thing called the Titletown District, which is like, if you've ever been to Wrigley Field lately, you'll notice it's a lot different than it used to be. There's, you know, boutique hotels and fancy restaurants, and they've really taken to like monetizing and crafting this sort of like marketable mystique, and they've taken their eye off the ball with the on-field product, and it's just become more about how do we market this and less about the football part of the operation. And because in all the years prior to Brett Favre, you know, it was always about, well, how do we get the team better so that we can be competitive? And now it's, hey, we're kind of competitive. We've got people in the stadium every game. We're always sold out. The new shops and the hotels and the breweries and all the things that are around the stadium, everything's going well. So let's just keep the team sort of mildly successful. It doesn't really matter. But when you have an iron-fisted dictator at the top, you have to have results, and there's no accountability. And you don't have someone as bad as Joe Barry, who's continually rewriting the record book in reverse. You know, like, that's the first perfect passer rating at Lambeau Field since 1980. And the litany of records that we write defensively, and you just don't have that when there's accountability. And so it's frustrating.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You guys also, I mean, it's the natural, you're in the ebb or the flow, whatever the opposite of the good one is right now, right? Because you've been gifted with two of the best quarterbacks of all time back to back. And, you know, there's going to be, you kind of know intellectually that third guy's going to be a bumpy road, even if he's good eventually. Where are you on Jordan Love? Is he going to be the answer?
Not the problem. Jordan Love has done everything asked of him. He's done everything that we've asked. And sorry, I'm going to turn off my, my things that do things.
No worries.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
I suck at computers, Kostaki. This is embarrassing. Can you hear me still?
Yeah, you're fine. Okay. You sound great.
I ruined it. Okay. Sorry. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. We okay. never lost you.
Okay, great. I'm bad at things that do things.
But, yeah, me too. I just learned how it works, and then I try to do it exactly the same way every time.
Jordan Love is not the problem. The problem is, again, the defense. And we're like, we're okay having a bad defense. And I guess it's just acceptable. And Jordan Love has played, I mean, you look at the statistics between him and Rodgers' first years as starters, they're almost identical. We could even finish right. He could even finish a little bit better than Rodgers in his first year. He's not as accurate as Rodgers, but he's more mobile, on the run. He's got the same kind of arm strength. He had a great touchdown to Jaden Reed yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
I did, but actually, yeah.
Just threw it on a dime. Like, that was a even the commentator on the game said, that's a Rodgers throw. So it's not on Jordan Love. It is on continually being outcoached on defense and some, I don't know. Like, it's just not a winning culture anymore. So,
yeah, right. Well, we'll see what happens. All right, let's do what wouldn't normally do this here, but you know, I'm in charge. I'm the dictator of this situation. I can do whatever I want.
Now it's time for which comes first. Oh yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
Which comes first, Tim Harbison? Packers win the division or Kirk Cousins retires from the NFL?
Oh, my gosh. Cousins is gone before we win the division, because I think Detroit's got something special going. And I think Jared Goff is young enough where they're – and they still have a lot of draft capital. And, you know, I just feel like we're looking at 2 or 3 years of sort of middle of the pack or basement dwelling, and then Cousins will probably be gone. And I think Cousins is a guy, you know, he's going to have a long career as a really terrible football announcer. I think you'll see him as one of the most boring TV personalities.
He is a little vanilla, to be fair. He is likable, though. When I watched him on Quarterbacks, I was like, all right, I like him. He puts his head down. He works hard. He's like huffing and puffing, getting back to the line, and he could barely breathe after some of those hits. And
yeah,
he does all the homework, and has all the diplomacy, and no one has leveraged his skills, turned skills into money like Kirk Cousins.
I know. Isn't it cool how there's always those people that make like $100 million from like Bobby Bonilla, for instance. You know, he's like one of those. Like, Kirk Cousins will be cashing checks from the Vikings when he's in a nursing home somehow.
It's crazy. And even as we sit here today, he's likely to be highly sought after, and he's a free agent in what, a month?
Yeah, and it's so funny how the rumors have been like, the 49ers have an interest in Kirk Cousins. Well, what, you know, not anymore. And you know, so I think it's back to Minnesota. I mean, he does have a really strong arm, and him and Jefferson really have a chemistry sort of like Rodgers and Davante Adams had, where it's like, you go there, I'll throw you the ball, you've got a big catch radius, and it really works.
Right. So. I would love to see him, get into a bidding war with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
We've got money, and we definitely need a quarterback. Let's do it. We're finally out of salary cap hell. What are you saving the money for? Let's go.
Would you take Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. In fact, I had this extended text debate with my brother yesterday. He says he can't go buy a quarterback. I'm like, yeah, you can. And he goes, give me one example of where that worked. And there's a bunch of them. There's Kurt Warner and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Yeah. And if you go a little deeper, like I literally Googled it, and there's like 10 of these guys, Brad Johnson. And, there's a bunch of these stories where you go out and buy a guy and it works. That's not plan A. Plan A is, of course, you draft somebody at the top of the draft who has superstar potential, and you gently, nurture them and woo them and build it from within. But if they're going to keep winning 6 or 7 games every year, they don't have that choice, So fine, don't do it that way. You have money. The one thing the Falcons did right in the last few years, which I can't believe they did. I'm so impressed that they did this. They had these giant salary cap problems from Julio Jones and Matt Ryan. And in 1 year, they ate it all instead of kicking it down the road for like 3, 4, 5 years. They just like, this is the year we're eating all that. Some giant percentage of their salary cap in that year was paying 2 players who weren't on the team. I think it was like 35% of the payroll or something. But so great. Now you have money. And for 2 years now, you've had a quarterback that's not top 32 at the position. Stop it already. Get a quarterback.
Isn't that mathematically impossible to not have a top 32.
It's crazy. I mean, I think you can make an argument that neither one of those guys, and if you throw in Heinicke as well, none of these guys are top 50 NFL quarterbacks because there's a bunch of Minshew guys that you'd rather have who are backups, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, they don't have a sustainable, productive, playoff-worthy quarterback. And they got lots of salary cap. So I would say here's my version of if I'm in charge, first of all, plan A is draft a superstar potential, but you're not going to be in the top 10 picks probably. So, all right, that's probably out. So spend some money. Either trade some picks and go get one of these superstar kids or get yourself a Kirk Cousins or a Justin Fields, you know?
Yeah, I have a – this is kind of out of left field. I have a suggestion that I'm going to pitch to you, sell it to you.
All right, bring it.
His name is Zach Wilson.
Oh.
And
gracious. You fished me in. Thought we were having a real conversation. Sorry. I was like, oh, I'm going to get another answer to this problem. It's going to be great.
No, it is. That's the fun part of the NFL, though. It's like, how do these – pieces, and then you got guys like Joe Flacco that come out of nowhere, and then you're like, I thought you were gone 4 years ago. And then
I love Joe Flacco, and I love that, you know, on the weekend he won another game on the weekend that the Jets have been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, and they would totally be in it if they had just paid Joe Flacco $6 or whatever he's making this year, and he was already on the team. He knows the system. He showed interest, and they were like, nah, we got Zach Wilson. Well, then you get what you deserve.
Yep. Gosh, what a fiasco.
He looked good last year. He was when it was Mike White and Joe Flacco were kind of in playing on and off at the beginning of last year. I don't know. I think it's crazy that the Jets squandered such a good defense this year and didn't go out and try to figure out another answer after Rodgers got hurt. But I understand there's a lot of money and problems and chaos and you're trading this problem for that problem. I get it. But it is fun to see Flacco succeed, you know, somewhere else. Good for him.
Yeah, good for Joe.
What would you do if you were the Bears? Would you? You're probably going to wind up with one of the first two picks. You definitely have a big shot quarterback choice. Do you reset the clock and trade Justin Fields, or do you trade away the pick and keep Justin Fields?
Don't you think some of the luster has come off Caleb Williams a little bit? Like,
yeah, he seems like he's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, like I don't know, like, you know, 5 months ago that was like a no-brainer, but maybe I don't know. I do like Fields, and I think he shows improvement, and that's the one thing that you have to look at when you're evaluating is like, does this guy get better? And like with Jordan Love, I can see a path for him to get way better and be very competitive.
Right.
And with Fields, I see a path for him to get better. It's just that it all depends on what your scout. If you have a quarterback that you love, I guess you go out and get it. But I don't know. I think it's so funny how the Bryce Young thing unfolded, where you're almost better off if you have a decent quarterback. You're almost taking the draft capital, and just building your whole roster out than gambling it all on somebody who's 5'9".
Right. But when it hits, you're set for a few years because you're paying the quarterback a fraction of what he's going to make in a few years.
Right.
That's definitely the model that I'm jealous of. I've never seen my team in that situation, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's when you had Matt Ryan all those years. You got to figure, like, just build that defense. So it's Ryan's good enough game manager, good enough pocket passer, good enough to get you a long distance. Just build that defense. And you're seeing that with San Francisco and Dallas, where it's like, just build a defense and start from there. And it always amazes me that everybody, including the media and the general public, is convinced that having an awesome, like, high-powered, sophisticated offense is the key to the Super Bowl. And it's still, look at the Ravens. They have all that, but they also have a really good defense. And San Francisco has a really good defense. And Kansas City has a really good defense.
Yeah, that's right.
You
yeah.
can't do it without defense. You just can't do it. And so it's always that's what the problem with me with Aaron Rodgers, that whole decade after we won the Super Bowl, is that we were just historically bad for a decade with defense. But the general public thought, you have Aaron Rodgers. Why do you need a defense?
Yeah, right. Where are you on Rodgers? Give me the Rodgers temperature. Are you in Wisconsin right now?
Minneapolis.
You're outside of Minneapolis, so you're still in Minnesota.
Yep.
All right. Well, give me the temperature in you on Aaron Rodgers, and also in Packers Nation, because when I just worked Wisconsin, and I would kind of ask about Rodgers, and I was surprised there wasn't at least kind of a split. It was pretty strong, like fuck that guy kind of attitude.
Oh yes. I mean, I have a few jokes in my act about that situation, and I've got applause breaks from, you know, the joke where I trash Rodgers. And I just think that you're seeing it in New York. He's like, well, I'm going to come back from this, you know, this Achilles. I got to have myself in the spotlight. I have to make public statements and be on Pat McAfee, and I have to just constantly be the center of attention. And I just think that the Wisconsin fan base and the sort of the ethos of the Wisconsin blue collar dairy farmer or whatever,
right?
Like, sorry, you get a little bit of leeway because you're amazing at that, but then after a while, we're done, and
yeah,
we're done. And there was also a lot of bad feelings about, you know, making all these demands, but then not showing up to, you know, to the OTAs. You know, his last year, he made a lot of demands about, well, I want this player, I want Randall Cobb, I want Red Grange. He tried to sign Red Grange, who's been dead for 50 years. He wanted all these demands, but then he didn't. He just showed up, and then on the sideline, he just pout. He's got three rookie wide receivers. He wouldn't even talk to him on the sidelines, and it just ended really bad. So
yeah,
we were ready to move on, and even he hasn't done anything since to sort of win back. I think the ship has sailed. I hate saying it. Even with Favre, people that pay attention to the news, you see what Favre, you know, has done. And
oof, that's lately, an ugly story, man.
It's a terrible story. And I just think that and then you look, and then, I mean, we have Bart Starr, who passed away, and Bart was truly one of the classiest QBs of all time. And so we always have him to like fall back onto as our guiding star for good people.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Both of your quarterback heroes are kind of schmucks, depending on what glass you look through. You know, I didn't think of that till just now. That's
interesting. Yeah, it's weird. And you wonder why, you wonder what feeds Rodgers need to be like. Tom Brady's as big a persona as there is, but you don't see him on the Pat McAfee show every week. You don't see him posting or making inflammatory comments or challenging Travis Kelce to a public debate over vaccines. Right. You don't see Tom's right. Like, I have this much money. These are $1 million bills. I have 400 of them in my hand, and I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Out, you know, right. And you just wonder what ticks or what makes Rodgers tick in that regard. So
I had a daydream yesterday. I don't know where it came from. I think I was waking up from a nap.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom. noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Up or something, and I was like, what if Tom Brady is terrible at commentating? That would be so fun next year.
Oh, is he doing it? I didn't.
Well, he's contracted to. He took like a travel year, but he's under contract after this 1 year to start next year, as far as I know. And I think he's supposed to be one of the, I mean, obviously he's one of the big names, and he's supposedly going to supplant some of the other, you know, very successful commentators, including Greg Olson, if I have the networks right. Yeah.
I like Greg Olson.
Me too.
He does a really nice job. I mean, and he was kind of fast rising in the, is he with CBS, I think? Yeah. I think he's with CBS. I think it's
Fox.
Is it Fox?
Oh. I don't know. I'm not good at this game. But yeah, I like Greg Olson too. I chatted with him at a Super Bowl once, and couldn't have been any more like menschy and interested and earnest and willing to knock stuff around. And yeah, I had a good person and smart, like really sharp guy, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know. All right. Let's do another one of these little things we do. I'm going to do a weird one. I'm going to give kudos to the Carolina Panthers. They're terrible. They got nothing to fight for. Their first round draft pick has already been traded. There's no relevance. And while the season ends, it was raining. Nobody showed up at their stadium to see them play the Falcons. They have no, you know, they got a rookie quarterback and their team is completely, it's just a disaster over there. And somehow they beat a team that really was trying to win, you know, like the Falcons were tied for first place in their division. And good for them, man. That's crappy. That's hard to do. So kudos. Rookie quarterback this high, you know?
Yeah. Well, I didn't watch the game. I didn't see that. I was just kind of watching it through the game tracker, but I don't think that, I always feel bad about complaining about being a Packer fan. But, like, how far off do you think the Carolina Panthers Super Bowl celebration is?
Oof. That's a good thing you got rid of Christian McCaffrey as he was falling apart, right? Thank God you traded him at the right time. That's got to be hard to watch that kind of thing, too. Yeah, I mean, I traded him in fantasy years ago, and I'm still annoyed by that. You know, I can't imagine if that's my – I mean, if I'm the GM and I'm watching Christian McCaffrey right now, I'm like, oh,
I wish they would have you know how like with Hard Knocks they have cameras everywhere. I wish they had a camera in the Panthers facility the exact moment that David Tepper realized they screwed up on the CJ Stroud thing. Like, maybe
that's
four.
Gotta hurt so much.
Yeah, I mean, you think about. I mean, and I feel bad for Bryce Young. I feel he's a kid, and he's. Yeah. Got put into this position. He was great in college. And then, you know, and then there's this other guy who got drafted after you, who's the talk of the league, then rookie of the year, possibly. And then I just feel terrible for Bryce Young. And, you know,
these things happen all the time, right? Wasn't Trubisky was drafted ahead of Mahomes and Deshaun Watson that year?
The Bears traded up for Trubisky.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to, dig past this shaft with Mahomes and
maybe the Watson thing. Maybe they're like, well, all right, we're glad.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, but in terms of the talent, measurements and everything, and he had played so well in the brightest lights of Clemson and the bowl games and everything. Anyway, these are tough jobs. It's like, you know, and they changed the whole story arc of your franchise forever, and certainly for the next several years. It's crazy.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, you want to give some taps to somebody in particular? Anybody out there?
Yeah, I do. I wanted to talk just quickly about Jaden Reed. He's the Packers' third round draft pick. He's our leading receiver. And I don't think enough people are talking about how he is Deebo Samuel of they call him the Dairy Country Debo Samuel.
That's funny.
Because he's built just like Debo, and he's taken, I don't have the stats in front of me, but he takes a lot of rushes, end arounds, all kinds of things, all kinds of like creative ways to get him the ball. And he's a downfield threat. He's got speed. He's everything. And I think lost in all the Jordan Love hubbub is that we're seeing a real superstar created right in front of us with Jaden Reed. And it is exciting. It's kind of been like this bright light and kind of a dim season for the Packers.
Yeah. What about Christian Watson? Do you see him as being a big time thing or no?
No, not with hamstrings made out of dental floss. No.
Yeah.
Some receivers will overcome these soft tissue injuries. And I think you saw it a lot with like Gronkowski when he first came into the league. He had he was always banged up or nicked up or whatever, and he kind of overcame it. So maybe Watson will overcome it. He's a physical freak. He's 4'3" speed, 6'3", 6'4". He's a real talent, but he's missed, I don't know, half of the games that he's been in a Packer uniform. So
right, yeah, at least, yeah, right.
So I'm all on the Jaden Reed train. And if you follow NFL closely and you're drafting for your fantasy team next year, trust me on this one. He's got Debo Samuel 2.0 written all over him.
Nice. All right. I like that a lot. All right, cool. All right, let's do this.
All right, kids. Put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
I don't expect you to know the answer to this. I just thought it was an interesting factlet here. The Jets have missed the playoffs for 13 straight years as of this week. Now, the longest playoff drought in any of the four major American sports. Until this week, they were tied with who?
Ooh, four major sports.
Yep. The fourth one's hockey, not NASCAR or volleyball.
Okay. That's a tough one. That's a really tough question. I bet it's in baseball. Can you tell me if I'm warm? Is it in baseball?
It's not baseball, but I would have guessed baseball too, because the way the salary, there's not really a salary cap. So some of the teams can be bad for a long time, right?
Yeah. I'm going to go with, let me go with the Sacramento Kings.
The Buffalo Sabres.
Oh, yeah.
Have been missed the playoffs 12 straight years. And now the Jets are one small step ahead of them for now. I presume the Buffalo Sabres could miss the playoffs again here coming up and they'll be tied again.
No, I think Buffalo's on the upswing.
I don't know. I don't know either. I don't follow at all. We had some comments in here. Let's take a look at the, we appreciate you guys being here. Ewan says, Panthers, Falcons, the NFL equivalent of the ugly Christmas sweater. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, wow.
Falcons still in the hunt. Amazing. Yeah, that's true. Bridgewater is the goat of football political crossover jokes. Thank you, Ryan.
That was great, by the way. You said anybody younger than I won't get it. Well, I was on the floor laughing. So
That's nice. You're younger than me. All right, that's good. Mike Avini says, love you on Bob and Tom. Thanks for sharing your talents with us. Well, that's too earnest for this situation, Mike. That's very nice. Thanks, buddy. Andreas Economopoulos, that's my aforementioned brother. He says Drake May would be my top pick. All right. I haven't followed closely enough to know. Bears should take Ron Milford says Bears should take Harrison Jr. and wait for Fields offers. Yeah, I agree. I looked this up because I was debating with Andreas yesterday, and then I looked it up a little bit since then. The Fields situation is interesting because this is his third year. So next year is the last contracted year. So if you trade for him, I think you have control over ticking that fifth year box, that option. But you don't really have him for a long period of time. Yeah. So he's going to be cheaper than he would be if he was new. So they think, you know, like a second rounder kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, second rounder, and then bring him in and see how it looks. And then if it works, give him a dump truck full of money. That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. You know what I think about Justin Fields is their defense is coming into form, the Bears. You've got all this draft capital. You could get Marvin Harrison to go across DJ Moore. Like, I wouldn't shake it up by trading him. I think you're setting yourself back years by starting from scratch again. I think you've got something going. I mean, they really played competitive football. And I don't know if Eberflus will survive, but why not look at this in terms of a Lamar Jackson thing, where you get a really good defense, a really good special teams, and make your game plans compatible with field skill set and keep moving forward. I wouldn't get too cute drafting, because you could draft Bryce Young, or you could mess that up.
That's right. Yeah, that's definitely right. And you probably will get a lot of draft capital by trading out of the one or two slot. You know, it's probably worth a lot more in terms of building for the future. Yeah, I think I would consider that too. Obviously, that's what they're watching these games right now and trying to figure that out. It's an interesting problem. I mean, for me, I have a little bit, you know, I said this to Andreas, like, I have a little bit of like, I am crawling across the desert and I'm dying for a cup of water. And if the water is a little dirty, I don't give a fuck. I'm drinking it. Like, yeah, Kyler Murray is kind of a jackass, but I would happily take him.
Oh, wow.
Right. That's where I am. I mean, we don't have a quarterback who's top 32. Mm. It's, you know, Kyler Murray ain't perfect, but he's good.
Is he even like football? Like, I don't even know if Kyler Murray is interested.
It's the perfect example of how desperate I am, because I agree that he's a bit of a jackass. And
Yeah,
I agree. But I watched him live a couple of weeks ago. Andreas and I went to Falcons at Cardinals. And, man, that speed is something. He's got an arm. He's fun to watch. And the same thing with Justin Fields. Like, even if he has – even on his falling apart days, he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
I like that as a fan.
Yeah, I think Josh Dobbs would look great in a Falcons uniform. Speaking of falling apart.
It's one of the only uniforms he's not had yet. That's never a good sign.
Yeah, he'll win your uniform bingo contest.
It's great to talk to you, buddy.
Good to see you.
Where do people find you? Tim Harmston on the social media, where do they look for you?
Just at Tim Harmston. And I'm on Instagram, and then I'm on Tim Harmston Comedy on Facebook. I don't do TikTok or any of that stuff. Straight up Instagram. And then come see me at Acme. I'll be there Wednesday through Saturday. And I'm recording my album, my third comedy album. And it's going to be awesome, a great... Man. Yeah, it's fun going into Christmas break. People, I think, are in a great mood, you know, when they go out, because they might not have to work the next day. And I'm thrilled. I've been working really hard on this, so I hope it turns out great. So
great live stand-up. If you get a chance, go see Tim Harmston in Minneapolis this week or wherever he is coming up after that. And say hi to all the Acme peeps. I love that.
I will.
Special place in the hearts of comics everywhere. Just a reminder, I'll be in Atlanta this week and then in Ashtabula and Erie in January. We love you guys. Thanks so much for listening. Happy holidays. We are going to do a podcast next week, but it won't be on the Monday because the way it falls, we'll figure it out. And we'll probably have Glenn Grizzard in to, we'll do some Falcon belly aching again, I suppose. Thanks, Tim. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
See ya. Bye.